Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Hearing the arguments of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seeing his victory, Chandrasekhar, Tapan Mishra and Sanatan Goswami were all extremely pleased. Purport. Here is an example of how a sannyasi should preach. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, he went there alone, not with a big party. Locally, however, he made friendships with Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, and Sanatan Goswami also came to see him. Therefore, although he did not have many friends there, due to his sound preaching and his victory in arguing with many local sannyasis on the Vedanta philosophy, he became greatly famous in that part of the country, as explained in the next verse. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeing the transcendental victory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu over all the Mayavadi sannyasis, his devotees, Chandrasekhar, Tapan Mishra and also Sanatan Goswami were overjoyed. It breaks the heart of a devotee to see people putting forward conclusions that are not in keeping with the principle of pure devotional service to the Lord. There are any number of ideologies that are opposed to the conclusion of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. And there's any number of people who espouse these different philosophies at different times and aggressively propagate them. And some of them are very, very empowered and strong in their preaching of their particular ideologies. And because they are so charismatic, materially intelligent, and they effectively make use of material resources like wealth and the communication channels available today, they are able to penetrate into the sections of society very deeply, and they influence the minds of people. So generally speaking, people are ignorant, and most of them are innocent. And it is the duty of a devotee to reach out to these people and give them the correct understanding of spiritual life and indeed of life itself. And in Kali Yuga, naturally, because these other elements become very strong by the, shelter and protection of Kali or the encouragement of Kali, so the devotees sometimes feel demoralized. And they feel that we are such a small, tiny minority. And look at the world, they are just going after these other philosophies. And their proponents and protagonists are so strong. And we have very, very limited numbers, very limited strength, with limited resources. So therefore, when we see some devotional victory, then we feel very enlivened. We understand this is the victory of Krishna and the victory of the path of devotional service. Krishna, of course, is always victorious. And where his devotees are present, then of course there is also victory that is assured. But Krishna wants to make his devotees work for it. He doesn't make his devotees victorious so easily. He wants us to go through the struggle. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, we see that Arjuna was very, very demoralized. In fact, he didn't want to fight. Yes, please. Thank you. So he didn't even want to fight, actually. And finally, Krishna convinced him on the basis of sound reasoning and philosophy. And then he said, actually, Arjuna, these warriors are already killed. Your enemies are already dead. It's only a matter of time. It is time that is separating the death from their death from their present living condition. I have already done it. All you have to do is to become my instrument. Nimitta matra bhava savya sachin. So one who is very expert in shooting arrows, just be my instrument. And do the needful. Fulfill my mission. It's my job. It's my mission. So you simply become an instrument. So even in the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu could have done it. He could have done it all 500 years ago. He could have made every single person a devotee on the planet. But then what would be left for us to do? And he wanted to glorify his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So he left the glorious work for the acharyas, especially like Srila Prabhupada. And then something unprecedented happened. Srila Prabhupada went to the Western countries, and lo and behold, in a very short time of just 12 years, it was like a blazing fire that had spread all over the world. And it had alarmed even many governments who were thinking that these people will take over the whole world. That was the Hare Krishna explosion. So here we see Mahaprabhu setting the example of how a sannyasi should preach. And in general, we can take that to mean how a preacher of Krishna consciousness should preach. And Srila Prabhupada exemplified that himself. When he went to the Western countries, he went to America specifically, he had nobody with him. He mentions here in the purport about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to Varanasi. Initially, he had nobody. He went all alone, just with a companion, an assistant, to serve him. And then he got to know Chandrasekhar Mishra. Tapan Mishra he knew from before, from his visit earlier. Incidentally, Tapan Mishra was the person who was first instructed by Krishna, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the mission and asked to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This was when Mahaprabhu was Nimai Pandit. And he was playing the role of a dry speculator, of a teacher of grammar. So it was Mahaprabhu who had ordered Tapan Mishra to go and reside in Varanasi, knowing fully well that one day in future he would come there. So anyway, he met Chandrasekhar and Tapan Acharya there. And Sanatan Goswami also came there, seeking Mahaprabhu's association. So that was all Mahaprabhu had. And just see what happened after a couple of days. The entire community of the Mayavadi sannyasis, and their headquarters is Varanasi, they all became followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So similarly, when Srila Prabhupada went to America, he didn't know anybody. And in those memorable words that we read in the Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, he says when he got down at Boston Airport, he didn't know whether to turn left or turn right. In other words, he didn't know anything. He didn't know anyone about anything about America. So he went there, but by his sound preaching, Prabhupada says here in the purports, but due to his sound preaching and his victory in arguing with the local sannyasis on the Vedanta philosophy, then he became victorious. Okay. Maybe I can hold it in my hand and speak this better. Less distracting. He's not in a good mood today, I think we just... Okay. Just simpler. Makes life easier. Hare Krishna. So, yes. So when Prabhupada went to the West, went to America, he didn't have anybody with him. But then he, by his sound preaching, he attracted many, many people. And when you look at the example set by Srila Prabhupada and also by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, we see several features that made them successful in their preaching. As far as Mahaprabhu was concerned, it wasn't only the philosophy he spoke. It was also how he spoke. The manner in which he presented the philosophy was also very, very important. In life, we see that it is always not what we speak that is important. How we speak it is also very important. The same thing can be said in different ways and can have a different effect. And we all have everyday experience of this fact. A sentence spoken in one way will endear someone to us, and the same sentence spoken in a different way can make someone a very bitter enemy. So, Mahaprabhu's humility above all attracted them. We hear in the previous sections that when Mahaprabhu agreed to a meeting at the request of Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra, then he went there and he took a humble position and sat at a lower level compared to the Mayavadi sannyasis. In fact, he sat at the place where one washes one's feet before entering the premises. So looking at his humility, Prakashananda Saraswati was touched, because after all, he was a sannyasi. They had been criticizing him that he's a sentimental sannyasi. Even though he has taken initiation in our Mayavadi Sampradaya, he's from the Bharati school, but nevertheless he's just chanting and dancing like an ordinary man. He should be studying the Vedanta. He should be studying, he should be performing austerities. So they were criticizing him before. But when he came there and exhibited this humility and turned on the switch of the Brahma Jyoti, shining like a thousand suns, then they were all overwhelmed. Prakashananda Saraswati walked up to him, reached out, took his hand and said, Goswami, Goswami, please come, please come. Don't sit there on the lower level. You're also sannyasi. We're all brothers. Come on, sit with us. So for that little service that he rendered personally to Mahaprabhu, he received Mahaprabhu's unlimited mercy. So therefore, a preacher has to be humble. There is no place for ego in preaching, because a preacher is like a beggar. He goes out and begs people to become Krishna conscious, but that doesn't mean, of course, that we shouldn't maintain the dignity of a preacher. So the preacher should be humble, but he should maintain his or her dignity in preaching, because we are representing Krishna, we are representing the parampara that leads all the way up to Krishna. So we are very humble, and in a very humble tone we request people. But sometimes, yes, we do have to face rejection and perhaps some degree of humiliation from people. And I'm sure in the last 1 month, many of the devotees have experienced this in the book distribution. It's not that everybody you approach is going to be really very sweet and encouraging to you. Many people will just be very, very rudely dismissive and say, no, no, I don't want to see you. Why do you come here? Go away from here. So they may be rude to us and we have to just swallow it. So a preacher must learn to swallow things, not just prasadam. And of course that's also prasadam, that's also mercy of Krishna coming through these people to make us humble so that we don't get puffed up. We've done so much nice preaching. So once in a while Krishna sends the odd person who will, you know, bring us down to earth again. So the humility that Mahaprabhu exhibited was exemplary, and so did Srila Prabhupada do the same. He also was so humble. He was a sannyasi, 70 years old, didn't know anyone. He would personally clean, he would personally cook, he would personally serve them. He took so much pain to explain the most basic things, not just of philosophy, but even of lifestyle, of living. And finally, of course, there was a philosophical understanding. Because Prabhupada presented things with so much simplicity, so much clarity, and above all, with so much purity. Therefore, it had an impact on the hearts of the people. Srila Prabhupada had a heavy Bengali accent when he spoke in English. And sometimes the young Americans couldn't understand his accent. So many times they were not able to figure out what he was saying. In any case, he was using such terminology, sense gratification and, you know, some Sanskrit words. So there were many things that they didn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. But they just loved to hear him. They just went there. And here was this very distinguished, aristocratic, elderly gentleman come from India. He was a Swami. And he was speaking with so much conviction, with so much purity and selflessness on this topic, that they were just simply attracted to him. And it went to the point of them actually surrendering their lives to him. So therefore, all these are the qualities that are required for a preacher. One needs humility, one needs sincerity, one needs selflessness, one needs purity, and also, last but not the least, one needs some philosophical understanding. And that is the focus of this verse. One may not be scholars, but whatever one has understood, one should present correctly and clearly. It is knowledge of the scripture that is so important for us that actually makes us strong or staunch devotees of the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that it is our faith in the scripture, it is our conviction of scriptural injunctions or scriptural teachings that gives us the adhikar or the eligibility to enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Shraddhavana janahoy bhakti adhikari uttama madhyama kanishtha shraddha anusari. So Mahaprabhu explains to Sanatan Goswami that those who are faithful in Krishna consciousness, they are eligible or they are qualified to enter the pure devotional service. Adhikari. The word adhikari means someone who has a right or an eligibility to do something. So therefore, according to that shraddha or that faith, one can be classified as an uttam adhikari. That means one's adhikar or one's qualification is uttam or its topmost or madhyam or intermediate or kanishtha, which means the lowest. So what is this Shraddha? What is this faith? Earlier Mahaprabhu has defined Shraddha. Shraddha shabda vishwas kahe sudrada nischaye Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. So Shraddha is that very firm conviction that if I simply serve Krishna, then everything will be achieved. I don't need to do anything separate, something independent of serving Krishna. That's all I need to do. And that's something very, very serious. To think that if I simply serve Krishna, everything will be attained. We hear from the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Mahaprabhu telling Shivas Thakur, Shivas, what are you doing for your livelihood? You are a grihastha. You should work. You have children, you have a wife, you know. You should do something to maintain. So Shivas Thakur clapped 3 times. And he said, well, that's sufficient. So what do you mean? He said, if I clap 3 times and there's no prasadam, then okay, then I'll jump in the Ganga. In the sense that Krishna always made arrangements for prasadam for his pure devotees, for their maintenance. Of course, we can't try to imitate Shrivas Thakur, of course. We have to do our bit. We have to work to try to earn our livelihood. But anyway, the principle is that we should have strong faith that simply by serving Krishna, everything will be achieved in our life. In fact, Mahaprabhu then quotes this one verse. He actually quotes 2 verses, but I'll quote the one that is better known. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyachi mam namaskaru mam evaishyashi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me, your respects unto me, and I will deliver you. You will come back to me without fail. That is the truth. Because you are my devotee, I will do this for you. So it is faith in this instruction of Krishna that Mahaprabhu is speaking about. The principle of pure devotional service. So that constitutes faith. And Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu elaborates on this and says that actually for somebody who is doing Vaidhi Bhakti, who is in the beginning stages of the pure devotional service, it is faith in the words of the scripture that is actually the criterion for eligibility at different stages in Krishna consciousness. So if one's faith in the Shastra or the scripture is extremely strong, one is called an Uttamadhikari. If one's knowledge and understanding and faith in the scriptures is intermediate, then we are in an intermediate devotee. And if one's faith is very weak, then one is called a Kanishtha devotee, a weak devotee. But there is faith for all 3 stages. In the Kanishtha stage, Mahaprabhu says, Jahara komala shraddha se kanishtha jana krame krame teho bhakta hoi be uttama. So which means that for the Kanishtha adhikari, his faith is very weak, komal shraddhajar, which means that he can be very easily shaken by an opposing argument. I remember one devotee went out for book distribution one time. He was a very, very new brahmachari. He had come in and then he went in the train and somebody demolished him, you see. He was a very strong atheist. And he really publicly demolished him because he was in the train and poor boy was just distributing. And this man came upon him so heavily. And this man, boy was reduced to tears. He came back, you know, really Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was scratching his head. He was sincere, but his faith was not so strong. His knowledge was not so strong. So he was not able to oppose this person who was preaching very strongly. And even if he wasn't able to oppose, at least he should have kept his faith strong, but because he was very raw, so it was a big, there was a big impact on his faith. So it needed a little time for him to recover from that injury. So he needed some healing, he needed to be in the atmosphere again, and then he became a little strong once again. So, Srila Rupa Goswami says, I beg your pardon, Srila Jiva Goswami says in the commentary to this that it's not that the Kanishtha Adhikari doesn't have faith. Because if he didn't have faith, he wouldn't be called an Adhikari. He wouldn't be called an eligible devotee. He would not be qualified to enter pure devotional service. He has faith. But it's weak. And it exhibits temporary unsteadiness, especially in the face of opposing arguments or some other unfavorable influence. And then he gets a little unsteady for some time, a little doubtful for some time. But once again, when he comes back, Jiva Goswami says to his guru, which means the association of devotees, and he hears once again that he's back to normal. Yes, yes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the situation of the Kanishtha Adhikari, whose faith in the scripture is weak. His knowledge of the scripture is weak. So if someone presents an opposing argument, the Kanishtha Adhikari is very seldom able to present stronger counter-arguments. So, but however, when he continues in the association of the devotees, then his faith becomes stronger. And with such stronger faith, krame krame hoibe sei uttama, Rupa Goswami. So that means step by step he will also come to the topmost level. It will take time though. Then in the association of devotees, he comes to the intermediate stage. In the intermediate stage, there is some faith, a pretty strong faith actually. But however, the devotee in this intermediate stage may not be able to counter arguments all the time. Sometimes he may be able to counter and sometimes he may not. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he teaches Sanatana Goswami, says, Shastra Yukti Nahi Jane Dridha Shraddhavan Madhyam Adhikari Sei Mahabhagyavan. He says that Shastra Yukti Nahi Jane, the Madhyam Adhikari or the devotee on the intermediate platform is not so well conversant with the intricacies of Shastric arguments and knowledge. So he may not be so fluent in the teachings or understanding, and he may not be able to present things very strongly, or in the face of opposing arguments, he may sometimes be able to counter them and sometimes not. However, he is very faithful. Even when he is not able to present strong counter-arguments, his faith doesn't get shaken. He remains strong in his conviction in Krishna consciousness. So this is a Madhyam Adhikari. And therefore Mahaprabhu says, Sei Mahabhagyavan, that he's very fortunate. Because his faith in the scripture, his faith in Krishna consciousness remains unchanged, even though he faces an assault from opposing ideologies. So therefore Mahaprabhu says, because he remains faithful, he is very fortunate. His faith, the faith is the most precious thing we have, because it's very rare, it's very sublime, it's very hard to obtain. Because it's faith in something that appears to be intangible. The faith in the things of this world are apparently easier to have because you see them in front of your eyes. You experience them with your gross senses. But faith in something that you cannot immediately see with your eyes is harder to have. So when the Madhyama has such faith, then Mahaprabhu says, Sei Mahabhagyavan, is extremely fortunate. And what about the Uttam Adhikari, the person whose faith is the strongest? Mahaprabhu says, Shastra Yukte Yukta Ucha Nipuna Dridha Shraddhajar Uttam Adhikari She Taraya Samsar. He says the qualification of the Uttam Adhikari is Shastra शास्त्र युक्तो च निपुण. युक्ति, युक्ति मीन्स द लॉजिक. सो ही इज एक्सट्रीमली एक्सपर्ट एंड प्रोफिशिएंट इन अंडरस्टैंडिंग एंड प्रेजेंटिंग द लॉजिक ऑफ द स्क्रिप्चर्स. दिस इज द चीफ कैरेक्टरिस्टिक एंड दैट इज बिकॉज दृढ़ श्रद्धाजार. ही हैज वेरी स्ट्रांग स्टॉन्च फेथ इन द वर्ड्स ऑफ द स्क्रिप्चर. महाप्रभु ऑल्सो सेज लेटर सर्वथा दृढ़ निश्चय. That he has extremely strong conviction in the statements of the scripture. Nothing can shake him. And his understanding is also very, very clear. Praudha Shraddha. That means that he understands things well and has deep faith in them. And can also present things very properly according to time, place and circumstance. He can counter opposing arguments that come up. So this is an uttam adhikari. His qualification for Krishna consciousness, especially the path of vaidhi sadhana bhakti, is the topmost among these three. So shraddha anusari, according to faith, one's eligibility is determined. Of course, Mahaprabhu is exhibiting this Shastra Yukta Ucha Nipuna, this expertise in defeating opposing arguments. These Mayavadi sannyasis were not ordinary scholars. They were also very staunch in their beliefs. They were very scholarly, very austere. But still Mahaprabhu effortlessly defeated their arguments and presented the conclusions of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada also did the same. In Mahaprabhu's time, the main opposing ideologies were Karmakanda and Mayavad. In Prabhupada's time, when he went to the West, he did talk a lot about Shunyavad and Nirvisheshvad, that is Buddhism. You know, the Shunyavad is the philosophy of voidism and also impersonalism. But practically speaking, he spent a lot of his time debating the ideology of modern science. So he spoke so much against the modern scientific understanding of the world. He would talk with scientists, he would discuss with professors, he would always counter about the Darwinian theory, the Big Bang theory, how do you say life can come from matter. So he was preaching very strongly. Even though he wasn't, trained as a physicist or something like that. But nevertheless, he says, I'm bold enough to even challenge a PhD because he had such clear understanding of the principles of Krishna consciousness and how to apply them in different situations. So therefore, it is very important for us to try to hear these scriptures regularly, to study these books regularly. Srila Prabhupada very kindly has given us a wealth, a treasure house of information, of knowledge. By regularly hearing it and reading it, our faith becomes strong. Sometimes we may not be able to understand the technicalities of what's there in the book or what's spoken in a lecture. Doesn't matter. But the fact that we are faithfully sitting and hearing or sitting and reading will create that faith. Certainly where we don't understand something, we can go and ask questions. But even if one simply sits and hears with faith, if one is faithfully awake, then one can actually become very, very faithful, very strong in one's convictions. And then one will not get deviated. In an immature condition, one may get influenced and flow, row with the wind, as they say. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur one time narrated a very humorous story about a landlord and his servant. This landlord was a very wealthy man. And one time he asked his assistant, tell me, what do you think about this potato? potato? Yes, the potato, vegetable. What do you think about it? So the servant, the employee said, he was hesitant to say anything because he wanted to know what the landlord's opinion was. So he says, my dear sir, please let me know what is your opinion on this potato. So the landlord said, well, it's nice vegetable, it's nice. Oh yes, my lord, what a fantastic vegetable the potato is. Just see, you can boil it in water, you can boil it in rice, you can cook it this way, you can fry it, you can chop it, you can present it in a slim way, you can have it round, you can mix it with in any way with different types of vegetables. The potato is all glorious, all wonderful. And he began to glorify the potato. And then the landlord said, but you know, it's also a little too exciting. It's a little in the mode of passion, don't you think? Oh my lord, you're absolutely right. The potato, you know, it's the source of all diseases in this world. Nowadays we come across so many diseases and the source of them all is this one potato. You know? And yes, you're absolutely right. It's morbid. It's passionate. So, okay, anyway, let's leave aside the potato. What do you think about the brinjal or the eggplant? My lord, what do you think? What is your opinion about the brinjal? Well, brinjal is also a nice vegetable. Yes, my lord, brinjal, what a wonderful thing. It's the epitome of the creation of the Supreme Lord in this world. You see, it's the one vegetable that can save the prestige of a householder. Even if a householder is very poor, but he has one piece of the eggplant, he can roast it, he can fry it, he can boil it, he can present and give it to a guest, and then, you know, his prestige will be saved. And it's delicious, you can cook it in so many different ways. Yes, you know, but also, that's also a little morbid, don't you think? It's good. Oh yes, my lord. You know, in Bengali, the eggplant is called begun, yes? And gun, actually, another way looking at it, gun means quality. If you want to have a pun on the word gun means quality, and be means without. So he took a twist to the word and said, this begun actually is without any good quality. In fact, it's very risky. It causes all kinds of problems in the stomach and it's got no taste, really speaking. And then he went on and on and on. So the landlord told him, you know, you're a strange kind of fellow. When I say the potato is something good, you glorify it no end. When I express some doubt, then you criticize the poor potato. Then when I start speaking about the brinjal, you speak no end about the glories of the brinjal. And when I say it's not good, you also criticize the brinjal. Don't you have any integrity of your own? Don't you have any opinion of your own? So the man replied and said, my dear sir, actually, I'm neither the servant of the brinjal nor the potato. I'm your servant because you're going to pay me. So, therefore, whatever pleases you, I will do. If you like potato, I also like it. And if you like the brinjal, I will also like it. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the devotee should not be like this. The devotee should not row with the wind. In the sense that you shouldn't, you know, row your boat whichever way the wind is blowing. You have to go in a certain direction. So even if your direction happens to be upstream or against the wind, you have to go. You have to go where you have to go. So if you just simply row in the direction that the wind is blowing in, then you may end up in the wrong direction. So similarly, doesn't matter what the flow of the world is. There are so many worldly currents going on of different ideologies and thoughts, philosophies, any number of them. Sometimes they blow in one direction, sometimes they blow in another direction. So when we go out in the world, we are faced with all these, not just winds, but storms and typhoons blowing sometimes. So there's every possibility we may get blown away. So one has to be very cautious, very, very strong. So therefore we have to anchor ourselves. Our human body is like a boat. Nridehaṁ ādhyam sulabham sudurlabham plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam. Krishna says to Uddhava that this human body, Nridehaṁ, is a boat. And it is a very suitable boat for crossing over the ocean of material existence. It is extremely rare to obtain this human form of life. Sulabham, sudurlabham. Sudurlabham means it's extremely rare. Sulabham means it's very effective and efficacious in giving us the results, the desired results. Plavam sukalpam guru karnadharam. So the guru or the spiritual master is the captain of the ship. Mayanukulena namasvateritam. And the winds of the scripture, the scriptural teachings are the favorable winds that move the boat of the human body towards Krishna. So therefore, if we are like boats, then we need an anchor, and that anchor is the association of devotees. And then the breeze, if at all we have to row with the breeze, we have to row with the breeze of the scriptural knowledge. And the devotees are there in the ship along with us, we are not alone. In other words, by regularly coming to the association of devotees and hearing and chanting and serving, by regularly studying Srila Prabhupada's books and hearing at home as well, one can row one's boat, so to speak, in the right direction. Even when we are in the storms and the typhoons of this world that tell us differently, that take us to different destinations, we will continue on moving in Krishna consciousness with determination and with faith. Then we can make our life successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?